Okay, skipping ahead a little bit, the only thing that I would say about another poem about your eyes, which comes next, it's a short little poem, but it's the most recent of the ones in this volume. It just popped out of my head again, pretty much like you see it here. And I wrote that probably about a year or so ago. These poems go back, I know that some of them go back to 97, which is when they appeared in The Usual Suspects Meet Frankenstein. Some of them did. So I would say that some of them go back to as far as about 1995, that they've been around. But that is the most recent one. And it was amazing going through the poetry that I had. Some of it's still handwritten. What was I thinking? And trying to put together this book because I would find, little gems that I had forgotten about and go, wow, that's great. I got to put that in there. And eventually there's a bunch of stuff that just didn't fit once I realized what the theme was of the book. It just didn't fit into the book itself. And hopefully, someday, unless I totally botch the process of getting these out, I'll share those with you at some point as well. And I was looking through these poems. The only other one that I would like to give you a footnote about is Habeas. On page 24, if you're following along, in your books at home, children, on page 24, first there's like three things that I draw on other than in all of my poetry. I mean, obviously in Requiem, I'm trying to converse with, I'm trying to channel T.S. Eliot so I can talk to him, but just in general, the three things that I think I draw on most for inspiration and references and a foundation for this stuff is the Bible, which is very interesting because although I am a spiritual person, I don't consider myself a religious person and really have never read all of the Bible. But I draw upon that, and I draw upon Hamlet a great deal. I don't ask. And then, like I said, just general things such as quantum physics and those kind of highfalutin ideas that I've gotten in my head from my reading. But other than that, that's what I want to say about Habeas, is that there's apparently a great deal of Christ imagery in there. And again, it's one of those things where after I'm finished writing it, I go back and go, God, what was on my mind? But I want to talk with you a little bit about Still Lives, because this is a very strange series of poems. I mean, maybe you read it and just went, "Oh, but of course." But for me, it was always something that I was struggling with for the longest time, because I spent some time. Let me get a little water here. I spent some time with people who work in visual arts, painters and photographers, and basically, it was a real eye-opening experience for me. Because, I mean, if nothing else, the idea that you paint something, you can paint a one-of-a-kind thing and you give it away. And, me, I type stuff up in my word processor so that I print out and I hand you a copy, and I could go and hand the next person a copy. But none of this limited edition, one-of-one stuff. It's a piece of you that you're giving away. And it just blew my mind. But also, this idea of telling a story. And again, this, it sounds profound when I think about it in my head, and if it sounds lame to you, then sip your coffee and be done with it. But the idea of telling the story, I would listen to people tell the story of a painting that they had done, and it was just like me trying to tell a story about a poem I had done, and I really wanted to try and paint with words, some scenes, some little vignettes of something. And because I can't draw, I can't paint, I envy people who can do that, because I always get these great visual images for things that I want to do, but I can't actualize them to save my misbegotten life. So I'm always envious of people who can. So I decided to do the next best thing and wanted to create this idea of doing a series of still life portraits of various people. That I, would pluck out of my head. And then I started thinking about the idea of still life as just it's Well, I mean, obviously, it's just a still life. It's life that has been taken. It's a photographic still of it almost. And so I started thinking about people who, not necessarily actual people, but just people that were trapped in this stagnation that they could not get out of, which is another one of the themes that I wrestle with through the book, is you just get trapped in. It talks about, fantasies and comfort and, how do you get out of these things? So I started putting this together with that idea that, I had written various vignettes that are just portraits of a moment or of a person. And some of these, I will tell you, some of these are people that I pulled from other works that I had done, which, haven't survived. They didn't necessarily pass the not crap test. For example, in Still Life number three, there's a gentleman there who is in love with with someone named Corey, and Corey is dead. I mean, basically, I had written a poem, during my depressed years, called Love Etched in Concrete, and it was based on something that I had seen that someone had drawn probably with their finger into a sidewalk, and it just said Frankie loves Corey forever, and that instantly turned into this little dagger of a poem in my head that said Frankie loves Corey forever, it said, now Frankie's thrice married and Corey's long dead. Like I said, I was depressed at the time, but I was able to Frankie showed up again here in Still Life number three. So again, these are people, a lot of these are people who I have encountered while I was writing, that I thought that I wanted to write about, and for whatever reason, either the poem just hasn't survived the test of time, or the story hasn't, but I plucked these people out of them and I said, I can use these people somewhere else. It's the same thing with, backing up a bit. I said I had nothing to say about them, but writers lie. Nature of the Beast and Never and Always, which appear before Still Lives. They initially started off as sets of lyrics. I was a lead singer in a band for about 3 years. And over the course of those 3 years, wrote about 140 sets of lyrics, most of which never saw the light of day, a lot of which were bad. Again, they did not fail the not crap test. But basically, after the band, what do you do with this stuff? And I decided to try to bring those two ideas that I was trying to do in the song Nature of the Beast and Never and Always into a poem. And so all they really share is the kernel of the idea and the name, but those both initially started off as songs. And I, you know, if you ever do, if I ever do decide to do anything with those lyrics, you will find that they are nothing like the end result. It's kind of like, I don't know what it's kind of like, but it was just me taking those words and riffing off of them into a completely other direction. And other than that, the rest of Still Lives, I think for the most part speak for themselves. I wanted to show just these people who were trapped, and then towards the end you actually get some idea of hope that people are starting to do something, to remind themselves that they're really alive, that they have choices, and that they can get out of it anytime that they want to.